You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
I'm telling you about the glory of God so you can be prepared for the presence and the glory of God. There's nothing like the glory of God, the presence of God. You were designed for His presence. I remember I was literally laying under the anointing. Whirl is all over the place. Just laying as God, like a river. Imagine a low current electricity, but it's water. It's like a small low current river of God's glory. It's just going across the, probably from knee down, ankles down or something like that. So literally we just would lay down in the glory of God, and the glory of God would just waves of God's glory will just touch us. I remember, I think about Dean Easterwood, who owns Ears to Hear in Pensacola, Florida, talks about how the waves of God's glory was just moving and just, just fixing us and doing things to us that changes us forever. So I'm there just soaking in the glory of God, laying there, and all of a sudden, I start feeling some warm, like a warm area in the inner part of my ear, right? And so I start thinking in my mind, I'm thinking, great, this powerful move of God's happening. And now I'm getting an earache, right? As I'm thinking in the natural sense. Then all of a sudden, it's like more of my ear got warmer and warmer. Then the other ear began to warm, and it was like hot oil just poured over my head. And God was anointing me that night. It was just the glory. It's like the honey. Imagine thick, warm honey oil being poured over you. It was so awesome and so encouraging and so inspiring. I want to encourage you to go after the glory of God and not be freaked out about it, to understand that we're designed to be in the presence of God and the power of God and the glory of God. I remember one time I was sitting in a sound booth with a friend of mine, Bill Holzinger. He was running the sound during revival, and I was sitting in this kind of standard chair beside him, and revival's happening, people were everywhere, and Steve Hill is speaking and preaching, and the glory of God came in such a way and settled and became so thick. It's like a weighty presence of God. It's not bad. It doesn't hurt. But literally, I just felt this weightiness, and it was just, I felt like it was pushing me down in the chair, and I couldn't get out of the chair because it was so weighty. That's all I could think was, if I could just get to the floor, everything would be all right. But I couldn't move. It was like it just had me. And eventually I was able to kind of I was able to move in such a way that I was able to move to the floor. And it's like, you're just laid under the glory of God. It's like, do you know what they do for people that are suffering for post-traumatic stress disorder? They give them a weighty blanket. They give them a regular blanket that has sand and weight in it that gives them a sense of security. Guess what? God's glory is like a weighty presence laying over you, giving this great sense of security and protection by God. So it's just an awesome thing. Some of the other things that's happened, there's just millions of testimonies, but the holiness of God. There was this holiness, not like somebody's going, you got to be holy. It's like you just get checked for everything because you want to be right. You want to be, clean before God and how you're carrying yourself. And it's just the holiness of God. And that it was just a powerful, I remember when revival first started, I had a particular job. I owned a company, a business, but also was working another job that caused me to travel. And we had the first week of revival. It was so powerful. God's moving. The glory's happening. This is before multitudes begin to come. And I just wanted to be there, but yet I had this engagement that I had to go to. Pastor Kilpatrick asked me to be part of this particular organization that was going on at the time. And so I had to go all the way from Florida to California, to Applegate, California. And I was there, and I was just longing the whole time to be back, in revival. And I was just listening to all the things that were going on there, trying to be a good steward of what I was supposed to do. And I was like, I'm ready to get back. And so they had a phone booth. You might not know what that is nowadays, but they had a phone booth at Applegate, the place that I was at, and I called. I remember calling Bill Holzinger. He had a cell phone back then, and I was on that phone, and I was gonna get Steve Hill to pray for me. I'm like, I gotta get back over there. And so I call from that phone booth, and Bill Holzinger goes and takes the phone and gives it to Steve Hill while Steve Hill's going around praying for everybody. And he grabs the phone, and he begins to pray for me, And I'm like, Steve, pray for me, man. You gotta pray for me. And as he began to pray, the glory of God came down in Applegate, California, in that phone booth, and that was the one you could sit in. Literally, I could just feel the heavy and the weightiness, just the love and the hug of God, and it was just so awesome. And then finally, when I got a chance to fly back from California to Pensacola, that was the longest flight of my life. It was just, it flew so low, I could see inside the windows of people's houses at night. And I think it was going 5 miles an hour, right? And I'm listening to Vineyard music. That was the first person worship that had been birthed during that time. And I was just longing, like, get there. Just get to Pensacola. I called my wife up, Donna, and I said, listen, when I get to the airport, you get there, be up front. I'm going to get in the car. I'm going straight to revival because I didn't want the doors to close before I got prayed for you and got back in the glory and the presence of God. So finally, when the plane landed, my wife, Donna, and my kids picked me up. I got in the driver's seat, and I just say, I don't think I said anything at all. I got in there. I beelined it right to the front door of the church, 3100 West DeSoto Street. And I just left them out there in the car. I walked to that front door. I walked straight down, and Dick Rubin was there, I believe, praying that night as well. And he prayed for me that night, and the power of God just boom. And I'm like, I'm here. I am here. This is the glory of God. I don't go into California again. This is just it. Because you just didn't know how long it was going to last. We had no idea that there was 5 years in front of us and things that God was going to be doing. So I want to just share with you a couple of things about the glory of God so you can be prepared for it. Right now, we're beginning to experience ourselves. And if we're experiencing, you can experience it. You got to make room for the Holy Spirit. You got to make room for the glory of God, God's presence. It's all about Him. And so we got to just welcome Him in. We're starting to see people healed. We're starting to see broken hearts heal. We're starting to see people being hugged by God. That hug by God is just powerful. How it could just change you. We're seeing prodigals come back to God and then dedicate their life to God. We're just seeing people just not talk, just kind of lay in the presence of God. And we're just seeing just God loving us. It's happening right now. So, you know, I want you, that's what Pastor Kilpatrick's talking about, is being ready for the glory of God. You want to be, the thing that we're going to be known for is the fact that we've encountered God, that God's glory rests upon us. And what we want is God's glory on us 24/7. I remember part of that job that I had to work this one job that flew to California about, and I had an office in this particular traditional church that kind of passed its season. It was kind of an empty, dark building, but I had an office to be able to run this particular community thing. And I remember walking down this long, dark hallway upstairs, and actually it was, I'll tell you what the church was. And so, but God's presence, His glory was so on me. I was happy. I was content. I was peaceful. I didn't need lighting because it was dark there. I didn't need this. I didn't need that. As a matter of fact, even Christian music, even Christian television, just anything was just like noise. You just wanted silence. You wanted silence. You would ride down the road with nothing turned on. And you would just stay in the presence of God. You would go to bed at night and you would lay there and you would be like a log. You just kind of lay there in one place, the same place. You're just in the glory of God. It reminds me of Samson when he would lay by the ark and be in the presence of God. It was like you just got this peacefulness, you know, that comes over you. And there's other times when the presence of God would come over you, and it's kind of hard to explain, but it's kind of like doing a sit-up. You just feel like the power of God's touching you, that you just feel this, you know, people do exercise like a crunch that you're doing. You're literally, sometimes your abs are just so worn out from our reaction to the power of God. And understand our bodies, you know, that it's electrical. Our body's electrical. It fires these nerve systems that causes our muscles to contract. Well, God is all powerful. When His presence shows up, it can cause, you know, us to react to that particular thing. So it's pretty powerful, things that are taking place. I mean, things started happening. People started coming. Obviously, you know, Pastor Kilpatrick and Steve Hill couldn't do everything. So they had Rose Compton, beautiful woman of God, was his administrative assistant, and just a wonderful lady that she would stand on the stage to be able to kind of watch what was going on. And she asked me, and Brother Kilpatrick asked me and Donna to begin to do this thing called interview people to be on the prayer team. So we actually had to set up a place for us to be able to sit at a table and have people come in, and we'd ask them questions. And ultimately, what you wanted to know was, can they actually submit to the covering that's there? Because if you'll get up under the covering, like in Psalms 133, the anointing will come, whatever God's doing, will come through them and to you. Not would you do your own thing? Are you going to be involved in what God's doing? So it's like, how do you do this? Because we're coming from a traditional standpoint where basically people just did what they wanted to do. But now we had to find out who was willing to be under authority. And so we had to actually ask people. It was like the fear of the Lord and asking these questions. And some people you said yes, and some people you said no. So we had the privilege of being some of the first people to be able to do that. And then we had to stand on the stage to be able to watch them pray, make sure everybody's treated well. And it's just an honor to be a part of that, but it takes physical, you know, attachment to be a part. Say, I'm committed to this, but you will. The glory of God will make you want to be, you know, attached to that. And so I think about, you know, worship changed. You know, the worship just shifted to first person. You know, Linda Cooley had just gotten there, and he'll tell you that he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be in any situation like that. He just was done with being a worship leader, I believe, at that time in his life. But God brought him there, brought us there, brought everybody there, and he was going to fix us and change us and heal us, and we just wanted to be there. So we're looking at that. And so worship, I remember I was driving down the road, and what happened is that everybody wants to know, what did you do? What did you listen to? What books did you read? You know, what messages have you been listening to? Everything that Pastor Kilpatrick had preached over the years. And so they're cranking out as many CDs and tapes as they can because people wanted it. Well, one of the things that we had was we had worship on the beginning of a particular message or something. And I was riding to up the Gulf Coast one particular day, and I slid in one of those CDs or tapes, whatever it was, and I heard this terrible, terrible sound. I'm like, oh my gosh, the particular brothers, the Coleman brothers, were doing all the reproduction at that time. Their studio, and I'm thinking, they've grabbed the wrong master and made the wrong tapes. This is terrible. So I call Rose Compton up, and I say, Rose, because people are coming from everywhere, and they're buying all this stuff, and I said, pull those tapes, they put the wrong things on there, right? So Rose grabs these tapes and pulls them off. And then as I continued to listen to more of it, I was like, oh, that was us. it was like night and day, the worship, the anointing. It was, you know, we did our best. We made a joyful noise to the Lord, I guess, you know. But when revival hit, God just touched the sound. He touched the worship. When he touches it, all of a sudden, it just becomes so beautiful. I remember Charles Sepiel worshiping God with his guitar, and the glory of God would come down and be so powerful. So worship switched so much that I couldn't even recognize that was worship prior to revival. So God just touches everything and just changes everything. I think about, you know, we would stay because you didn't want to leave. Why were you going to leave? It's the glory of God. So we would stay like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Think about it. It doesn't make sense, does it? But it was like, we would stay there 24 hours a day. But we had to actually get some rest and get some sleep. And Elmer, who had responsible for the building, he'd flip the lights on and off, and that we knew it was time to go. But we're literally just soaking in the glory of God. We're learning how the glory of God moves. We're praying for people. We're seeing how God's moving, and just so many encounters. I could think about a ton of them. But I remember we would leave after 3 or 4 in the morning, and we'd go to like Denny's or Shoney's or someplace like that, and the power of God would be all over us, and we would just be, you know, the presence of God would be manifesting in restaurants. And it was just like, we had to think about, like, you cannot, you know, be DUI driving under the influence, that you can have the glory of God so heavy on you that you're impaired from being able to function in a normal way. I remember, speaking of Bill Holzinger, I remember this is a guy that, you know, he wears his boots, he's got everything all always, you know, right? Well, God touched him in such a way, he was just like a big bowl of jelly. He couldn't even move. We had to literally pick him up and put him in a wheelchair, take him to his truck, and kind of pour him into his truck. I mean, this is what's happening. So obviously he couldn't drive. We joked around about that, you know, about, you know, literally being under the glory of God, you know, in such a way that you don't need to be driving. So, and we had people actually get pulled over by the police, and they said, are you drinking? What's going on? And of course, things are happening sometimes where they're just feeling the presence of God. And they go, no, it's just God. I mean, these are just powerful things that are going on. And so I think about this. I think about altar calls. People are there. They're hungry for God. Steve Hill's preaching, and all of a sudden he says, come to the altars. And Charity begins singing that song, come to the mercy seats. In seconds, the altars would fill, and their people are crying out and repenting. What is the key to being touched anytime in your life? It's hungry. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for more of God? So we begin to see this take place, and just it's just hard to explain unless you've seen it, but it's real. And it's the glory of God. And the things that would be prayed is so important because so many people are used to praying in a way that is, you know, a whole bunch of words. But, you know, if it's God, God shows up, you don't need a whole bunch of words. As a matter of fact, a lot of times words confuse people because sometimes we're putting our words in there. So the instructions to the prayer team was to pray slightly, barely touch the tip of their head like this. And they're not thinking they're being pushed down or something. Just barely touch them. And just say, and the answer for everything is more, Lord. More of your presence, more of your anointing. And then God would come and touch that person and respond to their hunger. And many people will be touched in many different ways. But it was so powerful to see God do that, which means just watch God do, be a vessel to allow God to use you at a time like that. We have another situation where, this is the last thing, I could go for days, but another situation where we had a particular lady that was interviewed, and she was interviewed in the context of, can you be on the prayer team? Once she saw God moving through her, it was hard for her to understand. This is happening because, you know, God, you got up under the authority here, and God's using you to do whatever God's doing there. And so she just went off on her own and started to go to a city nearby and was going to do her own ministry thing. Well, she literally got struck with a paralysis where she's paralyzed on half of her body, you know, and she had young twins and, you know, different things going on at a particular time. And so she's in the hospital, and it was kind of, it was rebellion. It was just kind of just doing her own thing. So in that, what happened was she repented, and when she repented, it lifted. And she was fine. And then it began to happen again. And once God began to move again, or once she was there, she took off again to do her own thing. Like, this is a God move. It has nothing to do with any individual. This is just God moving. And this time she gets hit with cancer and she dies with young boys. She's like in her 40s. There's the fear of the Lord, the presence of God, the power of God. It's like the Ananias and Sapphira situations are real. So it's awesome, but it's God. So I just want to share with you a couple of things like that. It's just so powerful when you think about the glory of God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.